Well, this evening I'm going to preach on a subject that I know is relative to every single one of us that are here today and every person that's listening this evening, that's watching this program, this sermon, this message, this service online, whether it be YouTube or whether it be Facebook. Every person tonight, I believe, and I believe that preachers have every right to say what I'm about to say. We have every right to say that we have a message from the Lord in the Word of God that everybody needs to hear. Now, it doesn't mean a whole lot what I have to say, but it means everything what God has to say. So we come tonight, and I would say this, desperately needing what the Word of God has to say to us this evening. And you'll see that when I start reading. In fact, turn in your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, and I want to read verses 14 through 17. I'll go ahead and read these verses, and then I'll go ahead and have a word of prayer. And then we'll jump right on into the message this evening. I asked Brother Jim to sing Victory in Jesus, and that's what I'm preaching on tonight, Victory in Jesus. And we can see right here in black and white, in bold print, that we do have victory in Jesus. With your Bibles open, chapter 2, 2 Corinthians, beginning at verse number 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God speak we in Christ. We're going to bow for prayer, but I did want to mention tonight, it is good to see Brother Tony back with us. Him and Trudy have been laid up now for quite a while with a flu or a virus, and it's just good to see Brother Tony tonight and pray for. I know that Sister Trudy would appreciate our prayers for her as well, but let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the reading of the Word of God, and I pray tonight that we will understand, in light of what the Bible has to say, that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And we do have victory in Jesus Christ. So, Father, help us tonight to see that truth. May it be glaringly clear to our attention, to our eyes. And, Father, tonight we pray for these precious people that are on our prayer list. We pray for our pastor's wife, for Sister Darla. You would comfort her, sustain her, touch her body, give her healing. We pray that all of the treatments will prove effective. We know that you do use great doctors, and we thank you for the advance in medicine and for all that is being done today, which was not true several years ago. So, Father, would you bless her with healing, we would pray. Bless our pastor and Marshall and the family. There's Shelby and Jerry also needing our prayers tonight, as they, of course, have this burden of their daughter being sick, and so help them. Give us a good service tonight, and we do pray for the Rich family, that you would bless Brother Scott and his father, comfort them, be with his dad. And now, Lord, we do pray for Sister Trudy. You will help her to recover soon. Bless Tony, and give us a good service now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And looking at this passage of Scripture tonight, it would pay us to pay attention in who's doing the talking. I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about the one who wrote the book. The one who wrote this book talks about victory, and I'll use that statement, victory in Jesus. Because if I understand it right, triumph in Christ is victory in Jesus. If we triumph in Christ, we have victory in Jesus. So the one who wrote this book talks about triumph in Christ. It would pay us tonight to pay attention to the one from whose mouth fell these words. We're talking about an individual who would seem most unlikely to be able to talk about victory in Jesus based upon what he went through, based upon the circumstances of his life, based upon his constant suffering, based upon all the things that the apostle went through. He, of all people, is talking about triumph in Christ. He uses the word triumph, though he had been beaten 5 times, literally beaten 5 times to a pulp. He uses the word triumph, though he was dragged out of town and considered by many to be dead. He uses the word triumph, even though he was shipwrecked, even though he was stoned, even though he was put in stocks. He still used the word triumph. And I will say tonight, to triumph in Christ means we triumph in spite of the circumstances of life. When we triumph in Christ, we triumph in spite of the circumstances in life. And we all, every one of us, beginning with this preacher, need to hear this. This is literally true. Despite our trials, we have victory in Jesus. Despite our trials, every single one of us tonight, no one excluded, has something going on in their life bigger than what we can handle ourselves. But we still triumph in Christ. The song says, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Talks about going from victory to victory. You know the reason tonight that we triumph in Christ is because Jesus scored a knockout blow at Calvary. That's the reason. We have victory in and through Him. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. So because of the knockout blow He scored at Calvary, you and I tonight can have victory. We can stand up. He scored that victory. Now, I'm thinking of even what the Bible says in the book of Colossians, chapter number 2. It says, having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. There's the word triumph. So because He triumphed at Calvary, we in Him are triumphant tonight. Because He triumphed at Calvary, we are on the side of one who's a winner. I remember when I was in high school, I never was a sports person. I never was. I always had 2 left feet, it seemed like. I admired football. I admired baseball. I admired those different sports. But I was just always kind of a backward person, and I was always self-conscious. I'm just telling you like it is tonight. I know you won't hold it against me. I'm human. I just never was a sports person. In fact, I went to a store not too long ago, and I bought this sweatshirt, and I like the sweatshirt because of how it reads. I don't know beans about the team. But the sweatshirt, I just happened to like it, so I bought it. It's the Philadelphia Eagles. I couldn't tell you, and I'm honest when I say this tonight, I couldn't tell you one single player on the Eagles team. I couldn't tell you one of them. I think I might be for the Eagles since my wife is from Pennsylvania now. I will go that far. But I wear that shirt. I wear it a lot because it's warm, and warm shirts mean a lot these days. But everywhere I go, someone invariably, they will say to me, they'll say, go Eagles. Or they'll say, go Birds. And I don't know what to say. I really don't. I just pray, oh God, I pray that that person won't ask me anything about the team, because I'll botch it up real good. But anyway, I had another thought I was going to mention. When I was in high school, they used to choose sides and play softball. And I'd sit there, and I mean this tonight, I'd sit there and I'd almost pray that they wouldn't choose me. I didn't want to be chosen. I figured I'd be a detriment to the team. But I want to tell you tonight, when God saved us, He put us on the winning side. So we're on the winning side tonight. When we got saved, we got on the side of a winner. And I want to be clear tonight. I want to say this. Jesus is not on our side. We're on His side. There's more security tonight in the fact that we're on His side rather than Him being on our side. That means a lot. Always causes us to triumph in Christ. When you stop and think about this truth, it should affect the way we walk, the way we talk, the way we sing, the way we conduct ourselves in general. The woe is me should become happy am I. That's true. Our woes ought to turn around and be, we rather than saying, woe is me, we ought to be saying, happy am I, my sins have been forgiven. The word triumph, the thought for the word triumph comes from a custom of the time, I believe. The Romans, they'd go out and do battle. They'd conquer the enemies. They'd bring the enemies and possessions and the spoils of battle. And they would march down the street. They would parade the spoils of war. And the prisoners would carry burning incense, we're told, as far as what tradition would tell us. They would burn incense. And then as you keep reading this passage of Scripture, to the one we're the savor of death unto death, the other the savor of life unto life. So basically, keep this thought in mind here. To the prisoners condemned, what it was, we're told, there was an incense, burning incense, the pleasant smell of incense in the prisoners. Some of them would be condemned, others they may be permitted to live. But to prisoners condemned, the aroma of that incense was like death unto death. In other words, the smell of it was a smell of death, you might say. But to those that would live, the smell of that aroma was an aroma of life. And I think that's what Paul is saying here. Now, a Christian, a saved person, is a savor to the world. A savor of God's power and grace. When the world sees us as a child of God, there's a sweet smell, so to speak, a sweet odor. And I'm not talking about the brand of cologne you might use. I'm not talking about that. But I'm just saying the testimony of a child of God is somewhat of a sweet savor to the world out there. To the saved, it's an aroma, a sweet aroma. But to the unsaved, it's an aroma of death. You may wonder, why is that? You know that every time an unsaved person is around a saved person, the testimony of that saved person condemns them even further. It shows them as to where they are. In other words, have you ever known people, when they got around a Christian who's living for the Lord, they didn't want to hang around you very long. They didn't have a whole lot to say. They got away from you as quick as they could. They weren't comfortable. See, that's what I'm talking about tonight. The testimony of a Christian is somewhat of an aroma of death. It brings conviction. It makes sinners feel shame, and they know that they're under condemnation. I think that's what he's saying there. And I'd like to throw in some teaching, you see, as we go through this passage here. But I want you to see something else here, verse 16. So y'all don't mind if I throw in a little teaching as we go too, don't you? I know if I get out here and jump up and down and clap my heels together, some people say, boy, he's really preaching tonight. And I've known preachers, they get up and boy, they were dynamic and they were good on theatrics. But when it all settled, they didn't have anything to say. So my opinion tonight is more important that we have something to say than a preacher gets up and runs his mouth simply because he thinks he has to say something. Does that make sense? So now look at this. Verse number 16. To the one we are the savor of death unto death. Then note this. and to the other the savor of life unto life. And then note the question, who is sufficient for these things? I think that's Paul the preacher, Paul the apostle, who basically is thinking about his ministry as an apostle. And I think probably he's thinking about other disciples or other apostles, and he's asking the question, who is sufficient, who is competent to be able to serve in the capacity that we're serving in? Because again now, keep in mind, this is his personal autobiography. He was questioned, he was challenged. There were people that did not think that he had the authority as an apostle. And he's making it clear here, he is saying, who is made competent, who is able to serve in this capacity? And he's quick to give God the praise because he realizes that he's an apostle because of God's calling and God's grace. So I think that he would have that to be clear. Now, let me get practical at this point. Now we will start throwing out some practical stuff here this evening. You know, a Christian, many times, and I'm included in the category, of course, we ask, how can I live for God and how can I serve Him? How can I be made sufficient for these things? How can I be trained up to speed, so to speak, to be able to serve God? How am I made able to live for the Lord, to serve Him, to live a victorious Christian life? How am I made able? Well, let's borrow some more words from the man that wrote this. He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And that's in 1 Corinthians 15:10. You see, Paul would make it clear. He preached straight. He was an apostle. He had victory because he was in Christ. Verse 17. Speak we in Christ. In Christ. That's the key. In Christ. My friend, tonight, if you're in Christ, you are filthy rich. You are blessed indeed. You have all that you need to get through the rough roads of life in Christ. You know, it's like this. Difficulties in our life, difficulties in this world, but still victory in Jesus. You know, it'll never get so rough. It'll never get so tough. Things will never get so difficult. But what? We still won't be given victory in Jesus. I've seen it too many times. Whether it be physical issues, whether it be sickness, whether it be a host of persecution, whether it be a host of other things, I've never known a Christian who was truly trusting God, but what didn't have victory in Jesus. We're promised that. But you know what we all do? We inscribe our problems in marble and we write our blessings in the sand. That's normally how we do. We talk of defeat quite often, but very seldom do we talk of victory. It's amazing many times that we will say out of our mouths, we will say, God has been so good to me, and then we'll turn right back around and act like He hasn't been good to us. You know what I'm saying? We say, the Lord has really been good to me, and the next breath coming out of our mouth, we will be acting like we're a poor lost soul with no hope. Well, listen, if we can conclude that God has been good to us, then we can also conclude that we have victory in Jesus. We hurt, we suffer, but we can still be happy and rejoice. We can be like the child that went to the pet shop and bought, his mommy gave him the chance of what little puppy he wanted to buy, and he saw one little puppy wagging his tail. He said, I want that puppy with a happy tail, with a happy ending, I think is the way he put it. I want that puppy with a happy ending. You see, we have a happy beginning, we have a happy ending. And I'll tell you tonight, by the way, it doesn't hurt to smile as a Christian. It does not hurt to smile. Now, have you ever seen an animal smile? I haven't. Do you know God made human beings alone with the ability to smile? And when we smile, that's a good testimony in itself. I say that tonight when we preach, when we sing, when we take up the offering, when we do anything in the church, let's try to put on a smile more than what we do. Amen? I'm talking to myself. I need to smile when I'm preaching, even. It doesn't hurt to smile. Smiling is a reflection, many times, of being content in what we have. And we especially can be content in what we have because we have Jesus Christ. Verse number 14. Let's look at that verse again. Thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. Never miss a word in the Bible. Every one of them is important. Did you notice in that verse, the word always is used? Always. If you think I'm telling you a story, look at your Bible. There it is. Always. It says it right there. Always causes us to triumph. That always means despite our problems. Always means all the time. Could you imagine what it would be like if we were living in a Christian community and churches were full of people who would be making statement like this. Imagine this statement being made in churches. I've never seen a time that so many Christians were rejoicing and victorious. Could you imagine hearing Christians say that? I've never seen a time that Christians were rejoicing anymore or so victorious anymore. I've never seen a time. Guess what? We could say that. We ought to be able to say that. Because it says right here, always causes us to triumph. Y'all believe that or not? I mean, that's what the book says. That should be our language. Victory in Jesus, by the way, begin. Try that one out. It started when we got saved. The saved became citizens of the kingdom of God and were entitled to the privileges of the kingdom kids. We're born in royalty. We're blessed from above. We're endowed with privileges no one in the world has. Victory in Jesus. We have it. It's stated in the book. So I say we ought to live it. Do you agree? God blesses and gives victory to the legal citizens of the kingdom of God. I'm going to give you three things tonight. Sermon wouldn't be complete without 3 points. I'll leave the poem out, but I will give you 3 points. Here they are. Number one, I know all of you will write this down. That's a joke, isn't it? Some people, you've never written anything down. Pay you to, though, it'd help you remember it. All right, listen. The place of victory. My first point. Write it down. Anybody want to borrow my pen? The place of victory, verse 14, in Christ. That's the place. In Christ. Never totally out of Christ, but always in Christ. The place of victory. And you know what? That means here and now. That means 2026 to be exact. That means February to be exact. That means right now to be exact. Here's another good verse. 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Even our faith. You see, we have victory in Jesus on our way to heaven. We have victory daily in Jesus. Now, what is the victory? What is it? Well, the verse that I just quoted, it mentions this, victory which overcomes the world. Then it says, even our faith. So where do we get the victory? Through faith. Where do we get faith? From the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So you see, when we talk about victory, we're talking about having faith to have the victory, but yet we're not going to have the faith without the Word of God, because it comes from the Word of God, that is faith. Which would lead us to, should help us to understand why the devil tries to keep people away from the Word of God. Since our faith comes from the Word of God, no wonder the devil's fighting the Word of God and trying to keep Christians from reading the Word of God. And trying to keep Christians to really thinking serious when the Word of God is being preached. That is a fact. You'd be surprised the battle that goes on in churches. We talk about the spiritual warfare. The devil really turns his guns loose in church. It would probably shock us all right now to know what's going on in people's thoughts, even in this church service. You're not even thinking about what I'm saying. Maybe you got your mind on something else. Have you ever stopped and thought about the fact that's exactly what the devil wants you to do? Don't focus on the Word. Because we get victory through faith. And faith comes from the Word of God. The Bible says in Romans 6, verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. I keep coming back to verse 14, if you noticed. Again, the word always, always causing us to triumph. Now, I can put it like this. Always, He will match His faithfulness with our testing. Always. God will always give His blessing, His faithfulness to our testings. You know, the Bible says there's no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape. So you see, every testing is matched with God's faithfulness. With God's provision. He never brings us to any place in life but what His grace will not be there waiting on us to help us through it. He's faithful. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Romans 8:37. It doesn't simply say we're conquerors through Him that loved us. It says we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. More than conquerors. I'm telling you, that's right out of the Bible. That's good stuff, because that's what the book says. It'd be a wonderful thing if we would claim that, all of us. Right now, stop and look at yourself. What are you going through in life? What are your burdens? What are you dealing with? What is it that's grieving your heart? What is the thing that's breaking your heart the most? Could I help you to understand tonight that God knows exactly where you are, and you have not come to a place that surprises the Lord. There's a reason. There's a purpose. All things work together for the good, even the sweet and the bitter. But God's still in control. He still gives us the grace to face what we have to go through. I believe that. Do you? Do you think God's going to save us and then forsake us when we get to a desperate need in our life? Not like the Lord to do that at all, is it? He always causes us to triumph in Christ. So the place of victory in Christ. Number two, the pathway to victory. Notice 1 John 5:4. This is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So the pathway is our faith, even our faith. You know, a wise person one time made this statement. They said that faith really does nothing, for it lets God do it all. Faith really does nothing, it lets God do it all. It's okay for a person politically to be independent. But it's not okay for a Christian to be independent spiritually. Independence is okay politically, but it's not good spiritually. We need to depend on God, is what I'm saying. When God saved us, He didn't make us a bunch of independents. He made us dependent. We must trust Him. Christians are dependents, and faith makes us that. Victory is in trusting, not trying. Victory is in trusting, not trying. You know, the sinner, God says to the sinner, let me give you a comparison here. God says to the sinner, look and live. Look and live. But God says to the saint, look and die. Why would I say that? Well, what does Paul say, Romans 6, verse 11? Likewise, reckon ye you're also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:11. I am crucified with Christ. So basically, God is saying to the Christian, look to me, be saved, but then die. Die to self. Die to self-will. Die to your own ambition. But claim the life that you have in Jesus Christ. We triumph in Him. Our victory is in Jesus. Now, you're going to chuckle when I say this, and that's a good word for Chuck to use, a chuckle, right? My third point, you ready from a third point? My third point is this, remember point number two. Remember point number two. You know, somebody come up with a rule for speaking. By the way, preaching is also, we preach, but we also want to encourage people to remember what we've already said, okay? Somebody said the rule for speaking is you tell them what you're going to tell them, and then you tell them what you told them, and then you tell them to remember again what you told them. Or maybe they put it like this, tell them what you're going to tell them, I kind of messed that up a little bit, didn't I? So tell them what you're going to tell them, and then tell them what you told them. That's what I meant to say. So remember number two. This is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You want a better deal with the issues you're going through in life? Your faith needs to be increased. And spend more time in God's Word. Lack of victory traces to avoiding the pathway of the Word. The pathway of the Word. Preachers cannot help non-listeners to the Word. You hear me? Preachers cannot help anybody that will not listen to the Word. And so we need to always keep that in mind. And I say tonight that for those oftentimes they'll sit around discussing sermons and preachers and comparing preachers with preachers. It's the Word of God that gets the job done anyway. Every preacher might be preaching different, but in the final end, it's not the preacher that gets the job done. It's the Word of God that's preached. And our victory comes through the Word of God, but we need faith, and the Bible gives us faith. I'll tell you, you know that one of the best ways to approach a preaching service is to do your homework at home before you get there. What is your homework? Read your Bible at home. Study your Bible at home. And then come to, if the only Bible you get is in church, you're setting yourself up for defeat. We need to regularly be in God's Word because that's where our faith comes from. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So tonight, victory in Jesus. The place of victory is in Jesus. The pathway to victory is through faith. And point number three is remember point number two. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the precious Word of God, and bless it to our understanding, and help us, Lord, to be blessed By it we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.